The following podcast was made possible by the sponsorship of Teresa Leong Lee and by Catholic Digital Resources, where you can find downloadable faith formation resources and evangelization tools. Visit Catholic Digital Resources at CatholicDR.com to build your own faith and the faith of others. That's CatholicDR.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
Welcome, my friends, to this episode of Footsteps to Heaven. This is going to be a very special episode because I have with me today my brother, Kurt. He's visiting the family from South Carolina. We live in Florida, and he's come down to visit us, Ralph and myself and my parents. And so I thought, hey, Kurt, while you're here, how about let's do a podcast together, because Kurt has some really neat stories that I want you to hear. And so, first of all, let me welcome my brother. Thank you, Kurt, for agreeing to do this podcast.
Well, yeah, more than that is thank you for the opportunity. So I really enjoy having the opportunity to do this. So right back at you.
One of the things that I admire about my brother and what makes me excited to have him on this podcast episode is that he is really, really into sharing the love of Jesus with others and helping people discover that Jesus loves them and cares about them. And so we're going to talk about that in this episode. If you've been listening to past episodes, you know I've been running a series on the decree of the apostle of the laity. And this is a good example. What Kurt is going to share with you is a good example of fulfilling the apostolate of the laity. He has discovered his apostolate, his mission, and he's been living it for how many years, Kurt? Have you been...
I haven't really kept track, but it's got to be 30 to 35 years now, something like that.
Praise the Lord. And I want you to hear what he does, because it's inspirational. And so, first of all, Kurt, I want to introduce to my listeners the fact that you're a motorcyclist. And this is one of the things I think is really cool about my brother. He rides a motorcycle, but he, best of all, teaches others how to ride safely. And best of all, more than that, he uses that as an opportunity to help people find the love of Christ.
I was going to correct you if you didn't throw that in and say, yes, that is definitely number one.
So first of all, Kurt, tell us how you got into motorcycling in the first place.
Well, that's easy. Growing up with mom and dad, obviously, it was one of dad's rules to restrict me from never owning a motorcycle as long as I lived under his roof, which is legit. I respect that in him. He even said, I don't care how old you get, if you're in my house, you live by my rules. And one of those rules is you'll never have a motorcycle. So at 18 years old, I moved away from home and got a motorcycle and became addicted ever since. So it's really his fault.
Because he had to do it because he said not to.
He said not to, yeah.
But because your rebellion didn't lead to sin, it was okay that you rebelled.
Well, was it really rebellion? I think rebellion would have been if I still lived at home and did it secretly. Yeah. So, I mean, he didn't like it, but he didn't stop me from doing it. And really the reason he didn't like doing it is, you know, he never learned to ride a bicycle, so he just didn't understand how you can balance that thing up on two wheels. So so obviously I couldn't hold it against him.
So how did you get into teaching motorcycle safety?
Motorcycling and just general riding is dangerous. Everybody knows that. But I wanted to learn how to make it the safest that I possibly can. So I started taking classes right away from the Motorcycle Safety Foundation and some other classes, and I kept doing that through forever. And one day I can picture the moment, like a short 5-second video in my head. And in one particular school, they kept asking me if I'd consider becoming an instructor. And then one day, I'm doing the exercises in the class, and the current instructor of the time said, "And you're not an instructor, why?" Mm-hmm. So I said, "All right, where do I sign?" So I took the course, became licensed with that school to instruct.
A lot of times, as I was listening to you share that, Kurt, what comes to my mind is a lot of times God calls us to our apostolate, and we don't recognize at first that it's God calling us. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem to be what we were previously planning. It wasn't on our agenda. It wasn't on our radar. And sometimes it just seems like it doesn't make sense. Like, who am I to do this? I know that some people feel that way. Maybe you didn't, Kurt, but...
Yeah. I think everybody does. I mean, how can anybody really feel like they're worthy, I guess I'll use that word, to do this thing that we're called to do? I mean, who are we? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, really, you look at and especially me, I'm not super intelligent, struggled through school, you know, barely made it with passing grades, and so God chose me to do this? Like, it just doesn't make sense. So
that's why he did it.
Yeah,
because
less of me and more of him.
More of him, and he likes to do things that don't make sense to us.
Yeah, right. That makes sense.
How did you get involved in your own faith life? Tell me about your own story about discovering the love of Christ.
Okay, so this is excluding motorcycles at this moment,
yes,
right?
Your
okay,
own personal journey.
So, obviously, Mom and Dad had us going to church through our whole lives, so I knew a lot about Jesus, but I never knew Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Huge difference. Day and night difference, as different as heaven and hell. So, I mentioned before, kind of a slow learner. So, once I was grown and moved away from home, still went to church because I just grew up that way, kind of knew I was supposed to. Just made some friends who invited me to their church, which was just a different kind of an experience, different kind of a church. And it was actually there that there was an invitation, and I didn't accept right away. And I was kind of as I mentioned before, I don't have a certain date. I mentioned 30 to 35 years. I don't know the actual day and time of my original salvation. So, and I say original, I mean every day. It's you know,
every day
God.
Is redoing it and
right.
growing stronger in it.
Right. So I never drifted away and then came back. But anyway, so it was just someone inviting me to their church, and I just discovered that you know who God is. And
you heard something different than you normally heard in the church you were going to?
I heard it and felt it. Yeah, I mean, it became a part of me. Rather than just hearing it in my head, it actually got into my heart and literally changed my life. I mean, you know, I was never a super rotten guy. Maybe to you and Karen sometimes, our other sister. But no, not really in a too terrible way. Brothers can be brothers. But anyway... so I didn't have a really bad place to come from, but still it was a life-changing experience. And that's where that all began, is basically just someone invited me.
And the Lord set you on fire through that.
Yeah.
So how did your faith end up into teaching motorcycle safety?
So I became the instructor for that school. I had to use their curriculum, and there was a little bit of non-Christian stuff in there, a little bit of Buddhism kind of stuff. There are a lot of parallels that are spiritual parallels between riding a motorcycle well and spirituality. So the developer of that curriculum put some of that in there, and I would never do it. I just, when I was teaching it, I just skipped that part, you know, and that was okay with him. The interesting thing was taking the class. It was a 1 week long course to become an instructor. And the owner of the school was atheist and didn't get along with very many. Actually, he told me no other Christians before we met. And
so he got along with you.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know. It had to be the Lord. I really don't know. I would question more. How did he not get along with other Christians? He obviously opposes Christianity. He makes that clear. But who doesn't? That isn't a believer, you know. So one of the parts that I was tasked with teaching in the class as an instructor was about learning and being able to learn better. And it's talking about learning motorcycle riding, but it's about coming as an infant or learning as a child. And then there's some Buddhist guy in there that we're supposed to quote, and I don't. And so what the instructor, what the owner of the school said to us all is to know my material, learn it and know it, and then personalize it. So I said, look, you know what it's going to look like if I personalize your material. And he rolled his eyes and he said, just do what you got to do. So we're timed and graded to become the instructors. We're graded on how long we take and how well we present and some other things. So I deleted his whole Buddhist part of it. And of course, what fits in there perfectly, but come to me as a child, right? Well, why does Jesus want us to come to him as a child? So we get rid of all this intellectualism, you know, that keeps us away from him. So we started talking about that. And for the next half an hour, so we're 20 minutes is our scheduled time. So after that 20 minutes, the next half an hour is talking with the entire class, and including this guy, the instructor guy, about Jesus and going to church and about coming to the whole thing was great. And I passed. So
So what in you inspired you, or how did that moment happen when that 20 minutes was up and then you ended up keeping everybody listening to you going into that next half hour?
Oh, they were asking questions.
About Christ?
Yeah. Yeah, well, once I started out with that, I mean, I brought Jesus into the conversation, so they continue it. Oh, and by the way, two of the other instructors in training came out of their shells, and at that point, they opened up. Okay, so there's another one of us here, so now it's okay. It's, I mean, we all see that, right? You know, it's okay for me to be open about my
faith.
But
I think
it's
important that, you know, when we're in an environment that where no one is speaking up about the faith life, no one is speaking up about Christ and salvation, we sometimes have to be the first one, because there's others who are there who could get into the conversation, and they're all afraid to be the first one to speak up, especially in today's environment where there's a lot of anti-Christian sentiment out there.
Yeah, just be you, you know, don't be somebody else. Jesus made you you. He made you who you are. If you're ashamed of it, change it. Fix it.
Well, I think one of the things that, so one of the qualities that the Holy Spirit's given you, Kurt, is that holy boldness to go ahead and speak up. And that encouraged others to be bold as well, and to feel free to speak up. And as you said, people were asking questions, and it really became a faith sharing and evangelizing time. I think they also saw your love, the love of Christ in you. And I think that's why, when I asked the question of why did the instructor, who had all the Buddhist stuff in there, he didn't like other Christians, but he was good with you. He liked you. And I said, why do you think that is? And I propose it's because he saw love in you in a way, through your interactions with him, in a way that he wasn't getting from other Christians. I can't say for sure because we don't know what his experiences were like.
Right.
But that same love came through in a story that you were sharing with me before we made this podcast about the couple that you were ministering to. When Kurt goes Kurt, tell me about the opportunities that you've created to share the love of Christ, to teach about Christ, to help people find salvation. You go to motorcycle rallies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell me about that.
Okay. So can we hold that thought and backtrack to one thing that you said and then come right back to it?
Sure.
And you said about the holy boldness. And I used to pray, I don't anymore, for holy boldness, and that God would use me boldly to proclaim the gospel. And the reason I don't anymore is I inverted that, and that not that he would give me the boldness to speak, to just speak my heart, but that I'd have him remove from me the self-awareness. So it's really the self-awareness that makes you think, oh, this person isn't going to like what I'm going to say, or what are they going to think of me? Well, I don't care what they think of me. I love Jesus.
That's a very important point, because when we are thinking, if I speak up, what are they going to think of me? If I speak, when we're thinking about ourselves, in the situation,
it's
in
not
the
about
question,
you.
Exactly, it's about the Holy Spirit and what He is going to do if you open your mouth.
Yeah. So. I know that's super, super common, and if it's working for you, great, to pray for boldness. My wife and I like to pray that the Lord would use us to say things He'd want us to say and hold us back from saying things we shouldn't want to say. So many times, we just want to blurt it out there, and maybe it's not the Lord. So anyway, that lack of self awareness really, really helps me, and it gives me an attitude of I don't really care what they think of me, because you don't have to care, because I just love them anyway. As long as they see, like, what's that old cliche you've probably heard a zillion times? They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So just show them that you care, and you know what, you can get away with just about anything. So fast forward back to what you said before. It's just about that, just being yourself, and so I love first Jesus, and then some other things, but in somewhere down that list is motorcycles, and so anything I do, I mean anything, Jesus is in it. I mean, I you know, wake up in the morning, the first thing on my mind is the Lord, and last thing I think of before I go to bed is the Lord, and then everything in between, guess what? So He's in that too. So anything you do, so I don't care if somebody listening is into checkers or shuffleboard or golf, whatever you do, you know, Jesus is there with you, and just share it. But anyway, so I'm into motorcycling, and Jesus is there. So we moved from where we used to live in upstate New York to South Carolina, and there are no motorcycling schools similar to the one I used to teach in New York. So I was able to not be a part of a school and develop my own curriculum just for my own use, which means that I could make it look however I wanted it to look.
What an opportunity.
So I know. And it was, the whole thing was just so the Lord. Sue could share testimonies about how that whole thing started and the business plan that was written up, and it was so clearly the Lord. So
you go to motorcycle rallies and have a booth there that...
We're with the Christian Motorcyclist Association, and we have a booth there that have motorcyclist specific tracts and some Bibles, and that are also they have a picture of a motorcycle on the cover, just a little paperback one.
You enjoy that a lot.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a ball. Sometimes we have to be at the booth to talk with people, but some people don't want to confront. So sometimes Sue and I have walked away from the booth and just left it vacant and kept it in eyesight. And it's fun to see people kind of walk up to it, look around, and then quote unquote steal something off the booth when everything there is free anyway. And they probably would not have done that if we were there, because they didn't want to confront. So you
got to know when to be bold, and you got to know when to slip into the background and let the Lord do his thing.
Yeah.
Share with us a story, an example of planting seeds and making a difference in the lives of someone that you've reached out to, and some non-believer.
Okay, so just a real quick one is we were at a motorcycle rally. It was actually called Easy Rider Rodeo, kind of commonly known, of those of you that might know. It's a little more of the sleazy sort of a rally, but not the worst. But anyway, there was someone who came to our booth, and we started talking about the Lord with him, and offered the invitation for him to accept the Lord, and he did accept, and we prayed. Well, at the end of that day, they were going to have fireworks on there was a little dirt racetrack on the other side of the grandstand. So they were setting up. We didn't know anything about this. The middle of the day, they were setting up for the fireworks later that night. At the minute, at the second, we prayed that prayer and said amen. Some fireworks accidentally went off. And we're looking up at these, in the middle of the day, these fireworks going off. And I said, you know what? Think God's celebrating.
You said that to the guy that you had witnessed to.
Yep. So, and another thing was a couple, and I think this is where you were going at, but... I want to phrase this carefully. So a married couple who are friends of mine and Sue's, the wife of the couple is transgender. So I know that's going to raise some eyebrows in the listeners, but I know that there is no such thing as transgender. If you're a guy, you're a guy. You know, dudes are dudes and gals are gals. And that's the way it is. You can alter yourself all you want.
And you can't get rid of the Y chromosome that God gave you if you're a guy.
Yep, and God did not goof.
God does not make mistakes.
Yeah, so, but for the sake of just making this clear who's who, I'm going to call the wife the she. And because she's the one who we have the closest relationship with. So, all that being said... she became acquainted with a friend of ours who is a believer, a strong Christian, who is another a wife of another couple friend of ours. But anyway, they got acquainted on Facebook because they ride the same motorcycle. They got together, got acquainted with each other, and this transgender person asked our friend about a rider safety program or learning how to ride better, and so my name came up, so we got acquainted that way. And obviously this couple is atheist. Well, maybe that's not so. I hope it would be obvious, but you know, some churches embrace that, but.
But nonetheless, this particular couple, they're definitely atheists.
Self-proclaiming, yes, very, very opposed to anything otherwise. But anyway, so there was never any judgment, never any condemnation. We just accepted them where they're at. And I think, you know, when I say that, I think about Jesus who accepted me, even though I was never in that kind of a lifestyle. He accepted me where I'm at, and everybody who is today a believer, Jesus reached out to them where they were at. So you don't have to clean yourself up and put on a nice suit and tie in order to become a believer. So anyway.
And that non-condemnational attitude that you have, and from the very beginning with this couple, that's the love that I was talking about before, that the love of Christ shining through you. Yeah. And Christ's love is very attractive. And people love the love of Christ without even realizing that it's Christ's love.
Yeah, very true. Very true. But it's really, really easy to figure out who to love and who not to love. Only love the people that Jesus loves.
Which is everybody.
Okay. We figured that out. So... I like to dumb things down for myself, kind of goof-proof things for me. But anyway, so we developed a relationship. So we knew that we didn't agree with each other's lifestyles, but however, we got along with each other, and I asked if I should take some of the Christian stuff, some of the Bible study stuff out of my class.
Just to accommodate them and make them feel comfortable.
Right, right. And I couldn't take all of it out because it's who I am. The day starts and ends with prayer. And I've mentioned that they can, you know, they'll know ahead of time and they can just be somewhere else. And she literally told me, don't you dare change a thing. So she was open and welcome to all these Bible scriptures and verses and explanation of those verses because they fit in with riding a motorcycle because of the parallels. So
give an example of a parallel.
Okay. So, let's take someone who drives a car. To me, cars are very dangerous and boring. We call them cages, not cars, or a prison cell on wheels. Anyway, so you get in this cage at point A, and you quick as you can get to point B. And your destination, your reason for getting into the car was to get to point B. Well, get on a motorcycle and the whole thing changes. Your destination is actually the road to get there. So Terry mentioned that I live in South Carolina, but the northern end of it near the mountains. And we love getting on the motorcycle and riding it through the curly, challenging roads. They're a lot more difficult. It takes a lot longer, obviously, and we take a very roundabout way to get there. The difference is that taking the longer curly route to get there is a lot more rewarding and satisfying than just getting in a cage and driving to point B. So the parallel to the Christian life is we all, if we love Jesus and serve him, if we know him as our Savior and serve him as our Lord, those two things are very different. That's another whole topic. But anyway, we know we're going to be in heaven with him, and that's our destination, and that's great. That's huge. That's everything. But what about the journey to get there? So being a Christian and walking the Christian walk is a challenging lifestyle. So there are battles that we have that aren't easy battles. So the difference, though, is that it's much more rewarding. So everybody goes through difficult times, but Sue and I have gone through tough times and said, how would we ever have gotten through that if it weren't for Jesus? So the parallel is that it's so much more rewarding to go through life with Christ than without him.
And remembering that, to use that same example of driving along a very difficult route, when we know that Jesus is riding it with us.
Yeah, how so? Right? How true?
And we not only know he's riding with us, but we keep turning the steering wheel over to him.
Yeah.
Surrendering what we want to accomplish, what we wish the road would be like.
I've seen patches on vests that some Christian motorcyclists wear that says, Jesus is my co-pilot. And I'll always tell them, you need to switch seats.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And when we realize that he knows what's best for us, and we keep that as our focus and get our eyes off of the rocks in the way and the twisty turny, or maybe feeling like we're lost, maybe we're on the wrong route. But we realize that God is in charge, and we surrender to him what we think should be happening. Voila, all of a sudden it becomes an adventure. And in talking about adventure, Kurt, let me ask you this question. Why? Why did you decide to enter into this adventure? Why do you take the adventure of trying to bring others to Christ?
Okay, so everybody, I'm sure, has seen all those verses at the end of three of the four Gospels and at the beginning of Acts, where Jesus tells us to go into the world and preach the gospel and in all different ways. And so we've heard that, but the way, what works for me is that I know what Jesus did for me, and it's absolutely huge. So So my question to who's ever listening would be this, is how did Jesus change your life? And did Jesus change your life? First of all, if he didn't change your life, there's a whole different topic about that. And I'm sure Terry has some podcasts that you'd love to listen to about that. But if it was no big deal, then you can kind of leave it at that. And I would say he probably did not change your life. If it was a big deal and you agree that it was a massive transformation in your heart, in going from BC, you know, before Christ in your life, to serving him, then why would you not share that with someone else? How could you withhold that from someone else? And how could it not be so much of you that it just comes out, even accidentally, unintentionally, just in conversation?
And this includes people who have known Christ all their lives.
Oh, absolutely.
But like you said, you went to church, you knew about Christ, but your relationship with him, your personal relationship with him, really came on fire after a certain point. And everyone listening to this podcast has been introduced to Jesus somewhere along the line, or you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. Most likely, but maybe not. Who knows who the Lord is bringing to this podcast? But in Good News Ministries, the people that we serve are primarily people who already know about Christ. And Good News Ministries is designed, our purpose is to help people come alive in that relationship in such a way that they can't help but share Christ with others. Like you said, you know, why hold back the wonderfulness of Christ? And
yeah, how can you?
Yeah, and so I'd like to end this with a prayer. So I invite you, all the listeners, to pray this prayer with me. I'm not going to say it slowly. So I'm just going to pray it, and I ask you to follow along in your mind, but then pause the podcast and go back over it and repeat this prayer, especially if you've never said it before. And we pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we say, come Holy Spirit, fill me. Come Holy Spirit, renew me. Come Holy Spirit, help me to know Christ like I have never known him before. Because you, Holy Spirit, are the one who changes hearts and minds. When human beings speak to others about Christ, it is not we who change someone's mind. It is you, Holy Spirit, who changes their minds and inspires, enlivens a desire to know Christ. Enliven in us, Holy Spirit, a desire, an increase of desire to know Christ better than we ever have before, and to come so fully alive in you and your gifts, Holy Spirit, that we boldly and confidently, with ourselves getting out of the way, mm-hmm. and you leading the way, Lord, you change lives through us. Amen. Help us, Lord, to become your instruments of sharing the love of Christ and changing lives through that, and in so being, changing the world. And we thank you, Lord, and we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for what you accomplished through this podcast and through each and every life that's listening to this. And thank you, Kurt, for coming to my home for a visit, but also in agreeing to share your story.
Well, the pleasure is mine, and again, thank you for the opportunity.
Amen.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.